This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says, in your face, Toby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker.
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next, whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here at 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, today is not as fun as it was yesterday, where it was our 100th show. We had a cake brought in by Mark Heidebrecht.
Oh, yeah.
We had cards signed for us. Now we're just back to 101.
Yeah.
All the fun is gone. All the celebrations, all looking ahead to it.
Got 99 shows till number 200.
Well, let's just hope we can make it through 99 more shows and have a chance to get to the 200 mark. Steve, this is the first day of my favorite month of the entire year. Now, I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'll watch a little soccer. I'll watch some Olympics. But the month that makes my juices flow, March.
March
the
madness.
Madness, baby. The madness is here.
Oh, it's here.
And the March madness that other people think of starts in about 2 weeks. Actually, 2 weeks from today with the NCAA tournament opening round games. But we get a little early treat with the madness with Bullpup basketball.
You
Bullpup
bet.
Postseason basketball getting underway tonight. Steve, you know me. I'm a big college basketball fan. I'm a big basketball fan in general. But these are the types of nights that you live for. You can't wait to walk into that gym tonight. And I think that there are some people around town that might be saying, why are you so worked up about McPherson girls against Bueller? You've seen what happened. It's the postseason, baby.
Yeah.
You get worked up for every one of these games.
Yeah.
There's no holding off on the throttle. You get to go pedal to the metal. The boys' game against Ulysses on Friday night. Then Saturday night, if both teams make it, we are going to be rocking inside the roundhouse.
And the roundhouse should be filled to the brim on Saturday. I wrote a column about this today. In fact, I use you as my lead-in because I've told you about bullpup crowds and things like that. But you haven't seen a true bullpup crowd yet. Now, the closest thing that we had was the semifinals, I thought, of the McPherson Invitational.
Shawnee Mission East.
Because it was so loud in there. I mean, you literally couldn't, you know, your ears hurt after you left. That was pretty close, but I'm talking about the roundhouse crowd where people are standing around the top. I mean, you could just feel the ground shake. The roof's about to blow off. Kind of like the crowds we used to have in the 90s, for the old-timers like me. Back in the 1990s, the McPherson boys won 6 state championships. The girls won 3. Every game, it was just filled to the brim. And, of course, now the old-timers like Mark Heidebrecht, our buddy Mark Heidebrecht, Mark will tell you the 60s and 70s was the greatest crowds because that's when it was 4 and 5 around the top. Kids were sitting on the floor. I mean, there were like 3,500 people in the roundhouse. I mean, the place was just up for grabs. It's not quite that way anymore. Times have changed. You know, people got, you know, other things. Social media, you know, people stay home, play on social media. And
yeah, you think they just stay at home and tweet instead?
They're
and they get on Facebook.
They're on the internet. They're
they
home
play
on their
Farmville.
They're home on their computers, you know.
Yeah.
They don't come out to the games.
That big technology.
But,
They're playing their Segas. Playing Pac-Man.
It's not like it used to be. I mean, I know that. And that's just the way the world is. The world has changed. I mean, it's not the way it was 30, 40 years ago. And I understand that. And but Saturday night, I think you know, not to say that Thursday and Friday won't be good crowds. I really don't think tonight will be a very big crowd because, for one thing, Hayes plays
Ulysses.
And you think Ulysses fans are going to drive 230 miles? I don't think so. You think Hayes fans are going to drive 140 miles? I don't think so. I think they're waiting until Saturday. But I think tomorrow night we'll have a great crowd. And then Saturday night, it's going to be off the charts, especially if Bueller's boys beat Hayes on Friday. Now, if Hayes' girls win, if we get three towns, let's face it, Ulysses, I think you can just maybe – I think Hayes takes care of Ulysses on the girl side. So Hayes people will be here, McPherson people, of course, and Bueller people. That almost assures that we'll have a great crowd.
Well, we're excited for things getting underway tonight. They are the first sub-state games to be played inside the Roundhouse since 2014. So we'll be ready to rock tonight. We're going to take the air at about 7:15. It all depends on when the Hayes-Ulysses game ends. So we will talk about a little bit of the sub-state stuff later tonight. We're a little bit late today, again, because of the auction. And for those of you that are familiar with our auction and familiar with the process, that we always have somebody sponsor our lunch every day. And today, Steve Sell made a sound that I've never heard him make before. Because for those of you that are big listeners, you know Steve's got his Italian roots. And Steve lives for some primo lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
And from Martinelli's, it came down here today. Steve turned the corner into our break room and let out a squeal that he was so excited to get
people,
that lasagna.
I knocked people down. I was like George Costanza in the episode where there's the fire and George knocks everybody down, including a grandma and little kids. That's kind of how I was today. I came around that corner, and if you got in my way, you know, it was like
good luck.
It was a truck coming through.
And Steve got over to that lasagna. He popped a big thing on his plate. He gets his bread, and he's sitting there. And he's going, "Oh yeah, that's pretty good."
And then I went back and got
some. Oh, of course he got some seconds. So we thank Martinelli's for getting us the hookup with the food today. Steve Sell appreciates it more than life itself.
Well, everybody knows my grandparents on my mom's side.
Giovannica Dominica Tavernera.
Right. On my mom's side, my mom was big time Italianos, you know.
Mamma mia.
My Giovanna Dominica Tavernera was my grandma, but she had brothers Albino, Giuliano, Ernesto, and Enrico Tavernero. So there were 8 Taverneros.
From the island of Sicily?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I know that Uncle Giuliano went over and traced our roots at one time. So back in about 1980 or so, he went to Italy, went to the old country. So they came over on the boat, and they were immigrants. And my grandpa was a coal miner, and my grandma worked until she was 90 years old. She worked at Sauer's Department Store in Girard, Kansas, until she was 90 years old.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to talk about sub-state games coming up here in just a minute, but I don't know if you've seen this story yet. I doubt you have. And it has relevance here to McPherson, and it has relevance to Central Christian College. So there has been a viral email going around the last couple of days from the head baseball coach at Texas Wesleyan.
Okay.
And for those of you that are familiar, Central Christian College is now in the same conference as Texas Wesleyan.
Which is crazy.
And Texas Wesleyan is in Fort Worth. It's an NAIA school. And they just got football. They played MAC College in football at the beginning of the year. But there was a baseball player from the state of Colorado that reached out to this Texas Wesleyan coach and said, "Hey, I'd love to get some information on you guys." It's the recruiting process. He's throwing his name out there, maybe a highlight video. And the response to that email is what has been making some national news. Have
wow.
you seen it,
Steve? I have not seen it.
So the person's name who sent the email to this Texas Wesleyan coach's name is Gavin. And Mike Jeffcoat, the head baseball coach at Texas Wesleyan, had this as his response. "Hi, Gavin. Thanks for the interest in our program. Unfortunately, we are not recruiting players from the state of Colorado. In the past, players have had trouble passing our drug tests.
Uh-oh.
We have made a decision to not take a chance on student-athletes from your state. You can thank your liberal politicians. Best of luck wherever you decide to play."
Holy cow.
Now, NAIA schools have a hard time sometimes making headlines because, let's face it, the NCAA Division I, Division II schools tend to take precedence, and especially in Texas. Imagine every school that's going on and playing sports and getting ready for the NCAA tournament. But this is not the headline that you want to make if you are the baseball coach at Texas Wesleyan. Now, I've gone through the recruiting process, and it's not a whole lot of fun. It's not easy. It's hard on people. But to make an assumption like that for your baseball team, I would think that at
that's
discrimination. Maybe not in the same ways as some other big-time discrimination lawsuits, but to say we're not going to take a chance on you because you're from the state of Colorado because marijuana is legal is like saying, hey, you went to McPherson High, and one time we heard about a guy from McPherson High who wasn't a very good person, so we're just not going to take a chance on you. Yeah, you're from California. I hear that they've got some hippies out there, so we're not going to take a chance on you. Can you imagine how stupid this guy feels now?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
recruiting is hard enough at the NAI level.
Yeah.
And to take away a state that is pretty rich in athletes, I don't understand. If you have people that want to go to your program,
He, he may go to a school that plays Texas Wesleyan and throws a one-hit shutout and strikes out 13 or something like that.
I don't get it. I just thought that you would find that interesting, that it popped up last night, and I had a couple of friends send it to me. Do you think the Central Christian baseball coach, the Mack College baseball coach, should be taking some notes on this right now and say, hey, don't send emails to students and say, because you're from this state, this guy could be the biggest anti-marijuana, anti-drug person that you can imagine.
Yeah.
But because he's from Colorado...
Yeah.
Don't recruit. We're not even recruiting players from your state.
Wow.
Is what the Texas Wesleyan baseball coach had to say. And I've been around Texas Wesleyan a decent amount. Mm-hmm. They won the men's national championship in basketball last year.
Played Central Christian College twice.
And you went to that game.
And yeah. And in fact, Central played them within two and three in the two games.
So a little bit of connections here with Central Christian College. I thought that you would find that interesting. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's time to dive into sub-state action. We can talk a little bit about the girls' games tonight, as well as take a look at some of the other sub-states that are happening throughout the state, throughout the area, and everything to look ahead to. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. You're hearing one shining moment behind us right now because March Madness has officially begun.
I have on my computer, you know, down the side where you save, I have the one shining moment from 2008 still on my computer, and when I need a pick-me-up, I just play one shining moment. Luther Vandross really... did a good job on that, but I really like the original guy. I can't remember what the guy's name was. There was an original guy, and then Luther Vandross did it, but I just love that song. I think that's just a tremendous song.
I have spent many a night just watching One Shining Moments from back to back to back, just like 15 in a row. I love that video montage so much.
They do a great job with that.
It's one of my favorite things in the entire world. Well, we added a new sponsor for those of you who are listening going, God, that commercial break was just so long. We've added Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and we're excited to have them on. They were on with us before, and now they're on with us throughout March until the Royals roll around. So Overhead Door Company, North Central Kansas,
check
228 South Main in McPherson, the brand trusted for more than 90 years. We're glad to have them on our
side. Check it out. You betcha.
Well, as we look ahead tonight, Steve, to sub-state action at the 4A Division I level beginning. Sub-state has been going on all week for the smaller classifications. It started earlier in the week for 5 and 6A, so games have been happening, but it's the 4A1, 4A2 teams that have been kind of left out to dry. They haven't had any games until tonight.
Right.
And we are excited to get everything going. This is a weekend that we have been looking forward to since, I don't know, since I got here. July, August, because whenever I came here and Steve was telling me about these McPherson teams and saying, look at all the talent that's coming back, this is obviously the week that you look ahead to, because everybody knows the records against the teams in league. They know the records against the Mid-America Classic teams, the McPherson Invitational. Those are fun, but what the season comes down to, first off, is this week. I think some people would say it comes down to the state tournament. Right. Well, you got to get there first. That's
win
next
or go
week.
Home.
But this is the time that everybody has been waiting for. And now it's finally here, and these teams of destiny get to finally put themselves out on the line and win or go home basketball for the first time of this season, and I can't wait for it to start tonight.
Well, I can't either, and you know, I've been through enough of these that I try not to get too high. But the thing is, this is one year I really, really want McPherson teams to get through, because I just feel like they're, you know, either 1 or 1A in both boys and girls. Yeah. I mean, it's Miege and McPherson. If you look at the state rankings all year and you look at the other teams, I mean, it'd almost be a shame if McPherson and Miege don't make it and play again for the championship. Hopefully the brackets would fall right, that they wouldn't play in the semis, because I really believe if McPherson and Miege play, that's the state championship game. I don't think there's any boys teams or any girls teams capable of beating Miege, and probably not capable of beating McPherson, but they always say the hardest part about state is getting there.
Yeah.
And the Bullpups have got to get there. And I think they will. They just play like they have been. Just play Bullpup basketball. They will be there.
You mentioned the state seedings and making sure the things play out, because there are a couple of scenarios that things don't match up correctly, and there could potentially be a McPherson-Miege matchup in a semifinal instead of a championship game. And I know Coach Strathman and Coach Kinnaman are probably going, hey, don't look ahead too much.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to focus on tonight.
Right.
But for McPherson fans that are girls basketball fans that are looking at this bracket, the thing that you have to root for, not only the McPherson teams, you have to root for Piper and Labette County to both win.
Exactly.
Or both lose, whichever one you choose. Because the way things are seated right now, Piper's undefeated and would be the top
We're
seed on the girls' side.
Right.
The second seed is Labette County. McPherson is one spot below them because they missed out on that game.
Right.
So they're one game behind. Labette is 19-1, McPherson 18-1. Then there's Miege at 18-2.
And then everybody else is going to be way back.
And so when you look at what could happen, let's say Piper or Labette loses, then everybody slides up one spot, which would match McPherson and Miege in a 2-3 game. That would be a semifinal. So if you are a McPherson fan, and I was telling Mark Heidebrecht this the other day, you root for Piper and for Labette to win.
Right.
Or you root for them to lose. Or you just root for Miege to lose. Whatever you think. But just to have one of them lose is the scary scenario. But
and I think Labette gets in. You look at who they've got in their sub-state.
Mighty Southeast Kansas.
Indy Bulldogs, Chanute, Fort Scott. Labette should be just fine on the girls' side. Now, Piper, who knows? I mean, they're undefeated. I think we saw them, if I remember right. Well, I'm not even going to say. For some reason, I was thinking Piper was at state last year on girls, but I can't
they
remember.
They were.
Yeah, okay.
Finished third.
Okay, and beat Circle in the third place game.
Right.
And
they've got Baser, Linwood, Atchison, and Tonganoxie.
Tongi. Yep.
So we're looking a little bit ahead right there. But as we look to tonight's game, the Buehler girls coming to town, 7:30, McPherson takes on Buehler. In this matchup on paper, it's pretty clear who the favorite is when you look at what's happened the first two games. But one of the things that Coach Strathman has talked about with us is that Buehler always finds a way to junk things up when it comes to the Bullpup shooting and trying to manage what happens with Taylor Robertson, because they threw some things at her the first time that they met back in January, and Taylor had a little bit of an off night. The team, let's be honest, if Coach Strathman was going to dissect what might have been one of the worst games of the year, it's probably that Buehler game where they only won by 31. They didn't play very well, but the second time, that is the game that goes, okay, this is how this game could go, where Taylor makes 9 threes, they make 15 as a team, they win 71-22.
They may put three people on Taylor tonight.
Might give them a chance.
They say they may play a field around her. You know what do they call those things?
A force field.
Her. Yeah, they may play a force field around Taylor, and I'll guarantee you, she would find teammate for layup after layup because she is just so skilled.
So that's the second game of the night. It's at 7:30. The first game of the night, Hayes and Ulysses, and this is a strange matchup because these two teams have had pretty good seasons. But the sample size that we recognize from them is what they did in the Mid-America Classic back at the end of January. And if you remember right, Hayes came in as the 2 seed, and they had only lost one game, or I think they had lost
8-2. They were 8-2.
They had lost 2 by the time the tournament rolled around.
Yeah, they played on a Monday before the tournament got beat, and that was a harbinger of things to come.
And Hayes was just, let's be honest, they were awful that week. They played terrible. And for a team to be the 2 seed and finish last in that tournament was a pretty big surprise. And Ulysses, they couldn't score.
They had 2 games where they had less than 10 points in the first half.
So this is a matchup of teams that we just don't know what they're going to get. And the scouting report that I've got from Dustin Armbruster, who is he's the radio guy for Hayes, and he does a great job in helping out with notes, is that what he's told me is the Hayes girls are a pretty dang good team, but they just had that one week in January where they were terrible, and that's the one that we saw. And they play in the Western Athletic Conference, which never really know what it's going to be. He believes that they will play much better than they did when they were here in January. Coach Strathman sees the same thing with them.
Yeah, I see them beating Ulysses. I really do.
And the other thing that Coach Strathman has said a couple of times on air with us is that one thing he doesn't like about those teams that are in their sub-state playing in the Mid-America Classic is that the Roundhouse is kind of an odd thing, that teams sometimes aren't prepared for it, where there are more people there for a girls' game than really any other girls' game they play all year. And to get used to shooting in that gym that's different than any other setup, because there's people behind the backboards, there are people everywhere, that it takes a little bit of time to get used to it. But those teams all get to play 3 games in this gym. And so he's kind of talked about the mystique and the mystery of the Roundhouse. Mm-hmm. It's not as much of a mystery for Hayes and Ulysses. And Buehler has played here once, and that was back in January. So when it comes to these matchups on the girls' side, the Bullpups are the favorites. But the thing that I know Coach Strathman is just sitting around and thinking is focus.
Right.
Gotta stay focused.
Yep.
No looking ahead.
Yep.
Let the looking ahead happen from us pundits, us simpletons, us fools.
Yeah.
For trying to keep you informed of what's ahead. But this should be a fun weekend for the girls. Remember, you can go online and find the seating arrangement for tonight.
Right.
It's a little bit different for sub-state action. You can't just sit wherever you want, or there will be fights happening in the stands.
I don't think tonight there will be.
As much as I'd love to see some fights happening in the stands, I don't want to have to
I don't think Shane
Bakus wants
to hear that.
No, so. I don't think he wants to hear that either. But the McPherson fans, you'll be sitting behind the McPherson bench tonight. If I remember right, Ulysses might be the fans that are behind the visitor
bench. All 3 of them.
Buehler sort of across the way there, and then Hayes will be directly across, kind of next to the band.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun night tonight. We'll take a final break and sort of wrap things up and get you ready for tonight's game. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, a little bit late today here on 96.7 FM KBBE. It is winter auction season here at the radio station. Steve was bidding on all sorts of lasagna certificates. He was calling in from the back office and saying, hey, I want to bid $25 on that Martinelli's. So he did get his Martinelli's today earlier with his big plate of lasagna. So earlier today, we had the Kansas Insurance Commissioner, Ken Selzer, in to talk, and we'll have him on some news stuff later today. But I wanted to tell you about a funny thing that happened. So I've told you before that I am a fan. Well, Let me rephrase that. I'm not a fan of The Bachelor, but I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a social experience. And so...
Never watched it.
I have a friend of mine that her and I will text throughout watching the shows. And because most of the time we don't watch it at the same time, I'm taking notes and I'll send them to her. And so whenever she watches, we compare some notes. And I sent her all my notes yesterday and she said, oh no, don't send them to me. I haven't seen it yet. So today, this morning, apparently, she was watching it. And so she sent me all of her notes. And so I'm interviewing the Kansas insurance commissioner, and my phone is just buzzing, buzzing, buzz, like 15 texts, mm-hmm. buzz, buzz, buzz. And it's all her going, oh, this is a good part. Oh, I like this. Oh, The Bachelor. Oh, that girl's okay, dumb. I can't believe he said that. Man. Oh, and I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. And I just couldn't. I didn't know what to do because he's in the middle of talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't take my phone and exit out of it or respond. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the middle of talking to the commish. He's running for governor. And so I just had to sit there and let all the Bachelor texts roll in this afternoon. Well, Steve, we're getting ready for tonight's doubleheader. Tomorrow night, the boys will be in action. First game, Hayes and Buehler. Second game, Ulysses against McPherson. The Ulysses team has really struggled the back half of the season. They've only won once in the second half. They've lost 9 games in a row. So I know that Coach Kinnaman and they are preparing for Ulysses very hard, and they know what they need to do there. But their eyes are on that Hayes-Buehler game because that's the one game in this sub-state, both boys or girls, that you and I don't have a very good feel for
yet. I still think Buehler. I think Buehler beats Hayes, even though Hayes is the higher seed, has a better record. I just have a feeling Buehler's got 4 really nice players.
Yeah.
And they have 4 players about as good as, you know, anybody McPherson's played this year. They don't have any bench, though. You know, and their fifth guy was 0-for-6 from 3. So, you know, I'm not sure how good he is. But they got 4 players that can play with anybody, with the 2 Browns, Owens, and Smyers. So I think Buehler gets it done because they want that 3rd shot at McPherson.
Yeah.
There was a story, well, after our game in the Hutch paper, the Buehler guys, we know we can beat them, you know.
It was in the McPherson paper, too.
Well, yeah, but Hutch did the McPherson, but anyway. You know, we think we can beat them. We get one more. They want one more chance. And Buehler knows they've got to do it this year. Because this is their year. They are loaded with seniors. They don't play very many underclassmen. And that's a senior class that's had a lot of success in a lot of sports. And they feel like they got to do it this year.
And I was reminded last night about the Buehler football team that will be replacing all 22 starters next season. And so that was their thought process and mentality during football season. And the Bullpups found a way to win twice in a couple of really good games. This season, the Bullpups scrapped to win a game against Buehler back in January here. Then on the road, they played a pretty rough first half, but then pulled away down the stretch. That's what they have done all year. They're closers. They're finishers. They are Mariano Rivera. But this third time, if that cutter's not working for Mariano, you never know what can happen. And the weird thing about those two games that they've played against Buehler is that Buehler's been able to take away McPherson weapons early on.
Right.
Where I think Ben Pyle only had 2 points at half of the second game.
Yeah.
But you can only contain them for so long.
Yeah. And remember, it was Jake Alexander that basically saved the day down at Buehler in the first half. I think Jake had 13 or 14 at the half, and then Ben caught fire in the second half, and Bullpups won by 20. But what I worry about, if McPherson plays Buehler, they may just go 4 corner. We don't see that very often anymore, but, you know, they've lost how many in a row to McPherson? 22, 23 in a row? 23 in a row. At some point, you just take the air completely out of the ball, and it's up to McPherson to get a lead and force Buehler to play McPherson style. But again,
and when you've looked at the teams that have played that style this year against the Bullpups, Andale, that was a game that McPherson almost lost.
Right.
The 2 Buehler games were fairly close. That might be the recipe that the teams try.
I know that's what I would do. That's what I would do. But the Bullpups play that 1-3-1 trap, and they can
turn
you
over. They don't let you do that.
Yeah, they can just turn you over, and, you know, they make you play their game.
We will wrap up today's show. We were a little bit off track today because of the auction. We started a little late. We are finishing a little bit late. So we have games tonight. Tomorrow we will have the 2 sub-state games as well to look ahead to. We will be able to recap the games from tonight. One more time, the reminder, 6 o'clock tonight, Hayes and Ulysses on the girls' side, then McPherson and Buehler will start at 7:30. We will take the air at the end of the game in front, so probably sometime around 7:15. So we are looking forward to a fun night as the madness begins right now.
You bet.
We're looking forward to it. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tonight.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.